Good morning. I'm Mike. I'm a grace recovering addict. Yes, truly saved by God's grace. And first, I'd like to thank the D.C. area for allowing me to participate in this year's convention. Thank my sponsor for actually putting me in service, you know. And I am nervous as can be, man. Don't nobody like standing up here talking in front of nobody that, you know, a bunch of faces, some I'm familiar with, some I'm definitely not, to talk about, you know, being on it. Now, I was a crackhead born in Washington, D.C., and they even fooled me because I thought my sister friend was going to speak first. And so, you know, I had to come up here first. And make a long story short, I don't know how in the world they expect me to talk 30 minutes. Didn't take me 30 seconds to cop. You know, but anyway, I'm a product of testing. 1, 2, 3. All right. I'm a little comfortable now, huh? Shit sound louder and louder. I took one of them bomb hits. Got my ears ringing and shit. No, I came up in Northeast Washington, D.C., family of four. I'm the second oldest child to two beautiful parents, and was raised in a good home, you know, morals, principles, and went to school. And, you know, for a minute, I was okay until they built the projects about two blocks from where I lived at. And you know, just the adolescent stage, I was watching guys shoot dope in the summer in the parks. You know, they was drinking the Boone's Farm wine, and you know, I used to bring dope needles home, and my mom said, "Get that out of here, boy." You know, and I would see these guys shooting dope, and I said, "I ain't gonna never shoot no dope." You know, and that stayed true to me. I was very athletic, played ball with some very prolific athletes, some that went on to the pros, some that probably should have made pro. And, you know, being athletically inclined and academically inclined, I was very smart child, you know, straight A student and learning how to dissect frogs and cats, you know, learning what an amoeba cell was and you know, could have probably been a brain surgeon or something like that, learning the theory of revolution, you know, evolution. And, you know, so I was a pretty smart guy, but for some reason I was attracted to the lifestyle. And guys in my neighborhood what I considered gangsters. Now, we living in a community where these are all single-family homes, but these guys were gangsters. I mean, they were robbing banks. They were selling dope and, shooting crap, and I was attracted to that kind of stuff. And so, you know, in order to, you know, get involved, you got to come off the porch. And I came off the porch, you know. I played ball, so that was a avenue for me to cut in. You know, and man, when I started, you know, smoking that weed, drinking them beers, you know, buying them cases, you know, snow this high, and we would go and walk to the liquor store and buy cases of beer and just sit out in the cold drinking, you know. And so my addiction was already in full bloom. By the time I had got to junior high school, I was snorting cocaine, smoking angel dust. You know, we called it wacky weed back in the day. And, you know, just wanting to be a part of, you know, wanting to fit in, you know. And, you know, kept it pretty good under wraps for a little while, you know. And ended up going on into high school and did not go to no class. So I'm smart. I'm telling you, I'm smart. Didn't go to a class my first 2 years. by the time I was graduating, my best friend said, look, man, we'll leave your ass right here. So I buckled down, did a little night school thing, and ended up going back to do one extra year for two classes. And I ended up graduating a year later, but I got my high school diploma. But all through those years, you know, just using. You wake up in the morning, you know, go to bed at night. Got to have something to start your day off with. I don't care what it is, you know, whether it was a shot of Velikov or somebody identified. I heard that. Shot of Velikov or something just to get you, you know, get your legs, get you started, you know. And so, you know, but boy, eventually I got introduced to crack. And, you know, I hear the crackheads out there, you know. And I am one, to the purest form. Ended up on crack. And of course, you know, I wanted to, you know, you want to hustle first. You know, you want to think you're going to make some money. I'm going to make a lot of money doing this, you know. And, the guys I was hustling with say, man, look, man, you better leave us alone because we're going to kill you because I smoked all crack up. You know, wasn't no crack getting sold. You know, wasn't no money being made. You know, I might have kept a little piece to try to start over and flip. I'm a flip. You know, we're good at flipping things. I'm a flip this and get this back, you know. And so, wow, I'm on it now, though, you know, and the guys in my neighborhood know it. So, you know, you lose all respect, you know, when you on it now, because that's the worst thing you can do in my neighborhood is be on it. And I was on it, man, and you know, I don't know how, you know, I don't have no jail story. I ain't been to Lawton. I ain't been to Jessup Detention Center or Upper Marlboro. You know, I don't jump across no counters. You know, rob no banks, you know. I ain't have no triple scale beam, you know. I ain't had no wads of money, you know, shoe boxes full of money. But, man, I was a bona fide crackhead. And I don't know how I kept a job. I mean, you know, I just don't know. I think some things are just by the grace of God that didn't happen to me, you know, because I have been in a lot of places and I've seen a lot of things that happened. And for the grace of God, you know, I'm still here, you know. And, wow, you're talking about, you know, at a point in my life, man, where I was able to still go to work. But, boy, every time I got paid, my gut would flip. You know, every time I say I got $100 in my pocket, I ain't gonna buy but just one. You know, all of the stories of me leaving money. And at that time, I was working at the Pentagon. You know, I'm working in the Pentagon and ended up on it. And so I was working at a 24-hour operation printing. So I would leave money in my locker. And, wow, I would get all the way across the 14th Street Bridge and be using, and at 4 o'clock in the morning I could get somebody to take me to work to get that money that I left in my locker, and then get all the way out there, see the people that I'm supposed to change the shift with in 2 hours. I'm due at work at 6. So they saying, what Michael doing here at 4 o'clock in the morning? And so I go get that money, go back across the bridge, go smoke, and never go back to work. Don't even show up, you know. So, of course, you know, they put me on leave restriction and all of that. You know, the process was getting started for me to get fired. I knew that, you know, and I was the last one to believe that I had a problem. You know, my mother would ask me, you know, they have like family meetings. You know, let's have a family meeting. Everybody come over. I knew it. I later found out now that in the third community, community. It's called an indictment session where they was going to indict me, you know, really. So I understood that they wanted to know, well, what's your problem? You know, why you ain't got no money? You know, why you get paid one day and then got to ask me for $20 or $40 for you to get back and forth to work? And for the life of me, I said, well, Ma, I ain't got no problem. I just like shooting dice. Yeah, you know, she could see me across the street on my knees sometimes, like, you know, like I'm shooting crap, but I'm smoking crack. You know, and so when they indicted me, of course, I lied. You know, I was in denial that there was no problem, you know, and I continued on that pattern, you know. I ended up getting married on it. And my first wife, and you notice I say my first wife, we smoked crack together, you know, had two children and two daughters, and I'm still on it, you know, and I can remember my daughter, you know, asking me why I stay in the bathroom so long, you know, and me not having no answer for that, girl gone, you know, or something like that. And you know, I can remember some dudes from New York trying to kill me because I done messed up some money or borrowed some money from a loan shark and didn't want to pay him back. And, you know, at that time, it was quarter on a dollar. You know, I remember those times where I would try to get home and the dude told me he was going to break my leg. And so when I got home and knocked on the door, you know, put my key in the door, my wife had the night latch on. She like, you ain't coming up in here because they niggas done already been here looking for you. I'm like, open the door, girl. She's like, hell no, I'm not opening the door. You on your own. So when they came, I cut through the laundry room. They chased me through the laundry room, Mike. You know, and I was scared to death. So that's just one of many episodes that happened to flash across my mind. Wow, I ended up moving back home with my mother because, you know, my wife couldn't stay with me under me doing what I was doing. And she had almost died a year before. So she stopped, cold turkey. She just stopped because she almost had a heart attack. And so I kept smoking. I remember the ambulance coming to get her, to take her to the hospital. I was supposed to go pick up her mother from the airport who was coming back in town, and there was crack still that we had left, you know. So when the ambulance came and got her, I went up to the hospital real quick, and she was okay, and I hurried up back home because I had to finish smoking, you know. Had no regard for nobody else but me, you know. It's totally self-centered. And, you know, thereafter, you know, my wife ended up, you know, getting out on me, you know, and all of that madness. So I moved back home with my mother. And you know, at that time, she allowed me to come back and live with her under the, you know, just on the fact that I was her son, you know. Nothing I had done, you know. I'm still gainfully employed, and I'm still smoking, though. You know, and so when these indictments, family indictments, I had a sister-in-law at that time who had been introduced to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And she just told me, look, Mike, you know, you can go to these meetings and people will be there to help you, you know. And I was like, yeah. And then I had a couple of people who had already been into the fellowship who would stop by and let me know, you know, look, man, we done found this new way of life, you know, you know, you should give yourself a chance. And he's, well, I'm telling them, man, I can stop using, you know. And they say, well, you know, can you stay stopped? You know, and I could never stay stopped. You know, I could string together a couple days if I don't go outside, if don't no knock come on the door, you know, come to the door, nothing like that, I could be all right. But could I stay stopped? And I never could stay stopped. And eventually, you know, I attempted to come to a couple meetings. And just so my mind was so clogged up, I couldn't understand how, you know, y'all with abscesses, you know, y'all with big arms. Because I was one, I guess I need to say, too, that my clean date is July the 10th, 1993. I'm getting ready to celebrate. I'm a few hundred days or so shy of 18 years clean. And one day at a time, you know. And so I ended up trying to come to a few meetings. And, of course, you know, I identified totally out because of the things that hadn't happened to me yet, you know, as a direct result. I was able to kind of stay clean for a little bit of the process, you know, and I had gotten like 6 months clean just by coming to meetings, and had a sponsor, and somebody had gave me my sponsor, you know, because see, I had never been to treatment, I had never been to a detox center, I just came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. So at that time, I heard this brother share that he hadn't been to detox. He had never been to treatment. He just came into the room. So that was my sponsor. Dude, I mean, somebody said, get in his hip pocket, you know, and that's what I did, you know. And I was able to stay clean for about 6 months. And then, you know, people, places, and things, you know, told me to stay away from people, places, and things. And of course, you know, I'm new. I like this guy, but I ain't listening to him, you know. And so, you know, I ended up with 6 months, and I went over the old neighborhood, you know, up on the strip. And I always was a neatly dressed guy, you know. I always kept my fronts up, you know, and guy say, Mike, man, you look real good. And I say, yeah, man, you know, I'm in this program, and I got 6 months clean. Showed him my key tag. And he said, man, give me a ride, and laid a rock the size of a half a dollar in my lap. So it was my first time experiencing powerlessness, you know, and ended up off to the races one more time. And stayed out for a couple days, and my sponsor at that time came to my mother's house, and you know, I of course at this time, you know, I'm loaning my car for hits, you know. At one time it started out, you know, I get 50, you know, sometimes a little more. Then it got to the end, you know, I might get a dime and a promise. You know, I'm going to hook you up. Got you, Slim, you know what I'm saying? And I would watch my car ride up and down Rhode Island Avenue all night long, waiting for this guy to bring me back something. And, you know, I ain't got sense enough to take the keys to my mother's house off the car. I give him all the keys that's on the key ring. So I gotta go to my mother's house, knock on the door, and then she come down and open the door, and I got that stupid ass look on my face with all my money gone, something like this. You know. And she could tell, you know, so I commenced to go and grab my normal spot, which is not my bed, but just the couch in the den. You know, feet stinking, you know, smelling up her house. Hadn't taken a bath probably in a couple of days, you know. And my sponsor came to my mother's house. And
we switch.
That brother came to my house. He kind of said, man, we knew something was wrong because you broke your pattern, you know. You didn't come to the meeting that day that you normally made. And him and his wife took me with him that whole weekend. I stayed with him in his house. He didn't even know me well enough to do that. But he took me. First place he took me, he bought me a Wendy's double cheeseburger, large fry, and a chocolate shake. Hell of a meal for a crackhead. And that day at the Uptown meeting on Saturday night, I surrendered to this program. And I'm eternally grateful to you folks, my predecessors, my God, and places like this where I can go and get some help. Wow. 18 years, almost 18 years later. And my story has somewhat changed. Because now, I've been clean longer than the guy that used to sponsor me and his wife. So, you talking about staying clean must come first. Under no conditions do we use. You know, I lost that first wife. Got married a second time and lost that wife to the disease of addiction. And I still didn't use. You know. And then the sponsor that was sponsoring me at that time, after 16 years, decided he was going to use. You know. And so, 1, 2, and 3 has to be the foundation. It's nowhere around it. You got to practice 1 perfectly. You better find 2. And you better use them in 3. And that's how my life is. After almost 18 years, almost 17 years clean. With 17 years clean, I've got a foundation of recovery that I'm not using no matter what. Now I'm telling you that the powerlessness comes into play through my daughter, who remembers when I used to use, but respects me as her father, but still got her process. You know, I since got married again for a third time, and now I got to deal with emotional situation and hiccups in my marriage, where sometimes you end up in a fetal position, and you can't use to it. You know, life has its way of bringing, some situations, but I found out that it also bring me to my knees. And it's power when I'm on my knees. You know, that's when I gain a little power, because I've been introduced to this God that y'all told me about. And I know he's working in my life. And sometimes in the weirdest situations, you know, and I've experienced some things that have happened to me to let me know that God is on my side. You know, he is definitely for me. So, you know, how much time I got? 5 minutes? I'm telling you that I've come a long way. You know, my life has changed full circle. And I'm not the same person I was when I came in here 17 years ago. And one way was physically. When I first got here, I used to think I would look like E.T. My body was this big, but my head was this big. And you know that's, you know, your bones and your neck showing. You know, crackheads get you know, crackheads know, because, you know, your ribs get showing. You know what I'm saying? So I've stayed around long enough to physically, you know, I stopped smoking, and then my weight really blew up. I was almost 200 pounds at one time, you know, to where my mother and them had to buy me a new suit when I was in the Oxford House because my clothes wouldn't fit me. And then from going to enough meetings, I began to understand the spirituality in my life, you know. And in order to gain something, you got to be willing to give up something, you know. So I had to change. You know, I had to change my behavior. I had to change a lot of the ways that I thought. And then, what helped me the most, though, was running something by somebody. You know, I made no major decisions, and I still don't, without talking to somebody. That's God working on my behalf. Because a lot of times I be thinking that I know what I'm doing, when in all actuality, I don't have a clue. You know, I may be able to fool y'all, but I can't fool me. And I've tried so many countless times. And then through the process, I know to have faith in the God that will use y'all to help me. You know, and wow. But through it all, staying clean must come first. So, again, I thank y'all for allowing me to share. That's my story. I'm sticking with it. And I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.